Okay. So, reminder of Ketubah. A number of years ago, when we were looking at the book, you know, Mike Bryant gave this prophecy of the book. We had a red book and we had this black book, and we started opening the pages of the black book, which is essentially our scroll, if you like, as a that contains our blueprint and everything. I saw one of the pages, there's a new page that I hadn't seen before. It was all gold edged with like pearls and anointedly inscribed, and it was all these corners, very elaborate. It looked like a very elaborate sort of page. And it, on it, it had a new season inscribed along the top and along the edge, and it said Ketubah under the hooper. Now, at this point in time, I wasn't that particularly aware of what necessarily all those things meant. But then it said, you're invited to participate in the wedding of Freedom Church and the Lord. So that was a page. And also, we shared that a number of times. And eventually, when we taught about the Ketubah, which was earlier this year, end of last year, beginning of this year, it was then, okay, are we going to now be able to outwork that page and fulfill that invitation and participate in that wedding? I would say that, you know, the lead up to that then for us individually would be, are individually we ready to engage in a deeper relationship with God, and corporately are we engaged? So we, you know, we had the sort of five aspects of marriage, you know, in context, you know, the lakar, the garden, skillet dance floor, mikveh, soaking room, and the preparation. And then the Ketubah, the terms of relationship for the hooper, the bridal chamber. For us, in this instance, marriage, whatever that is going to mean. And we looked at, you know, Ketubah and what the Ketubah meant. You know, this whole thing of, you know, Anoki, first word in the Ketubah, you know, I am the Lord your God, I have no other gods before me. So I would sense that God is inviting us to have no other gods before him. And so if there are other gods before him, no matter what they are, then the mikveh process would be to try and identify and remove those potentially. And sort of the statement, your authority is going to increase inside the hedge of praise and submission, which is the picture language of Anoki, and what those letters meant was an indication of what the Ketubah would do for us in terms of relationship with God in marriage, would bring us into a whole new relationship, but also the authority that we have would increase as a result of that relationship. And that sums up the sort of Ketubah. So, you know, I am the Lord your God who is choosing to bless you with freedom from slavery, not because of anything you've done, because I love you and I want all the people of the world to know that I am a loving God. So whatever God is going to do in this relationship with us, it is going to have an effect that it is going to bring us into observation. That's my take on what that is. Now, I'm not saying what that will look like. I'm just sort of saying that's what I think some of the implications of it might be. Therefore, there may well be a level of holiness that God is requiring from us that will be an indication of that. So in the Ten Commandments for them, it was like, welcome to being human again. So it was a bringing back into restoration for them. And for us, it's bringing us into something of another level. So if we were operating in that, you know, what would that environment be for other people? Because essentially the marriage relationship in God's intent is so that the world can actually see what it is to have a people who are in a deeper relationship with God. So how would the world see the outworking of this marriage? That's sort of the things. You know, what would happen if we are living in that intimacy of relationship where we are living within the hedge of protection that brings us into greater authority? And then, you know, I think, you know, it will change the world. I mean, that's, you know, our world to start with. But, you know, as a sense of us having a ministry to reach out and equip other people in the world, then there's an aspect of that would be outworked for us. And I think the authentic nature of a relationship with God and the generosity of that is we want to love as he loves and therefore be generous in giving that away. So God's desire is a marriage relationship with us. The ketubah, obviously, is the contract that describes that marriage relationship individually, corporately. We've developed a sort of a corporate understanding of what that would be. Individually, we've encouraged everyone to develop a ketubah. And, you know, before we actually go through the marriage ceremony, whatever that's going to look like, it would be really, really helpful and wise to have everyone to have completed that ketubah. Because I wouldn't want anyone to be unprepared for what might happen. Because I don't know what's going to happen. And so it's important to do that. Obviously, Jesus went to the cross in essence to prepare us to be a marriage chamber, for us in the inside to have his presence. And he came back and was resurrected so that we could go into that wedding. And we're in that place. Obviously, this has been done for the church in reality, but we were given a specific invitation. And I think we have to take that seriously. And there may be implications for that. Well, there are. You know, when you are not married, then you're single. And singlehood or independence is very different from when you give up that independence and singlehood to go into marriage. See, Mark and Joe know all about this, doing their marriage course and thing. So it is a very different relationship from before. Now you could say, well, yeah, but we're in relationship with God anyway. Yes, we are. But he's indicated that there is an invitation to something deeper. So I think it would behold us to be prepared for that. Now, we've obviously put together some expectations for that working of the ketubah, you know, and we've had some scriptures, obviously. We've based it on Matthew 18, 20, 2 or 3 gathered, Psalm 22, inhabit our praises, Matthew 16, the gates of hell will not prevail against us, 2 Corinthians 9, 8, that we'll have more than enough for all our needs and abundance for all good deeds. So there's some basic things that we've used to engage the ketubah, Matthew 28, 18, living under an open heaven. You know, the words that God has given us, that we would remind him of his word, that then we would see the fulfillment of that word. Promise of his presence in rivers that are flowing with us. So some of these things go back in terms of what he said and done over years, that now I think are going to become sort of focused, in a sense, that we would have God's presence continuing with us. Our gatherings will be in open heaven, angelic landing strip, the presence of the four angels of this sort of new order transition, the seven spirits of God, the cloud of witnesses, to be a place where dreams, visions, blueprints of destiny are released. There will be an increase in intimacy in our relationship with God. God will enable the success of our blueprint. God will supply all resources needed to fulfill our blueprint. God will provide health, safety, and protection. God's faithfulness will be seen. God's favor and blessings will be released. God will provide all the revelation we need to fulfill all that we're called to do. There will be guidance, direction, revelation through multiple witnesses, confirmation. God will honor our eternal destiny. All things will be possible for them who believes, that God will trust us with. God will hear us when we speak. God will give us wisdom. We will have supernatural power and authority. We will have an environment that enables constant growth and fruitfulness. Transformational power will be available in our environment. God will partner with us in bringing life, heal the sick, raise the dead. Salvations will be released. We will receive a ring of sonship, authority to rule over creation. We will be the head and not the tail. Frequencies of heaven will be emanating from us. God will open access to multiple dimensions. Earth and all created dimensions will be our inheritance. We will be an embassy of heaven where everything we do would create an atmosphere of repentance, health, healing that will reach beyond our physical footprint. We'll raise up mature sons, Joshua generation. And it's obviously this is just a snapshot of some of the things we said, I think, but the ability to access all areas of heavenly government, the mountains, thrones and spheres of government, to have charge of the courts of heaven, to have authority to release, legislate God's law from heavenly realms, to access Satan's trophy room, we will be able to fulfill our part in establishing and administering a city of refuge, the ability to access the ark, the representation of the four faces of God. You know, there's obviously more and more. The stuff that we've actually said corporately, that we've brought together, we put together in this ketubah, now we're going to enter into the relationship. So this is the stuff that we are now going to access effectively. So, you know, it goes on. Obviously, there's quite a lot, you know, and I'll leave it in there in terms of as a record of it. But there's obviously a lot. So where are you personally? That's what I want to ask for you to think. Well, we're going to set a date for the marriage. And you know, we have in mind a date. And so I want to give you some time to, you know, consider and to prepare. So where are we corporately? Well, we produced that ketubah. So from a corporate sense, you know, we have that ketubah, but we obviously have to be willing to engage that corporately. So as a bench of 3, bench of 7, bench of 12, you know, the mountains, there's a sense of ownership and willingness to then step into the relationship. So has everyone made a ketubah, in process of making a ketubah? Not made a ketubah? Who's made one? Okay, who's making one? Who hasn't made one? Okay. Okay, well, hopefully, by the time we get to this stage where we're making a commitment into this, because it is both a corporate and a personal commitment, because in a sense, Freedom Church is people. It's not a structure. It is people who are gathered together around God's purpose, His blueprint. So, you know, when we come to that ceremony, then we are obviously going to present our corporate ketubah, but I would encourage everyone obviously to come and present their individual one, because you're an individual member, and to outwork your destiny will be necessary if we're going to fulfill our corporate one. You can't do it as a, well, we just got a structure and it's all going to happen. It's going to happen through us, through people. And as we are a representation of the present government, then we have to, you know, take our position seriously enough to think, okay, I need to do this. Because if you don't do it, I don't know what it would be like. You know what I mean? I don't know. I mean, I don't know. In that, if there is a process and the mikvah is the preparation for that, that then the ketubah then leads into the ceremony, then hopefully we'll all be ready. That's what I'm saying. So think about that. Are we ready? You know, are we willing to accept the responsibility? Because if we're not, then we can't do it. Simply, you know. And I don't. This is not something that the three of us can just say, "Well, we're doing it, so tough luck on the rest of you," because we're going to do it anyway. We really have to be in agreement that yes, we are going to accept the invitation and accept the responsibility for what that will then bring. And that means, you know, are we individually, corporately ready to die to singlehood and independence? And I think the whole way of thinking governmentally, seeing the interaction between the mountain, all the things we've been sort of building up to over the last year or so, of looking to try and see that we're not isolated and what we do doesn't really matter because, well, I don't really count. You do. You're in government, you count. You really are part of the government. And, you know, we can't go into this and basically say, well, yes, we've got six mountains are going into this, but the other four, they're not quite sure. You know, we all have to be in agreement that, yes, we're going to do this. And the implications of that, I think, are a challenge for us to enter into another level of personal relationship, governmental authority, corporate relationship, because it's an invitation to us corporately to engage. So I don't know, what do people feel about that? Where do people feel they are?
Sounds amazing.
Yep. Okay. Does everyone think it sounds amazing? Does everyone sort of, yeah. I mean, I'm obviously, I've been looking at this for the last few years, and it's like thinking, what does it mean? What's it going to mean? You know, was it, you know, and it's been a long process. You know, it took 4 years for me to get even permission to teach the ketubah, even though, you know, I'd done it 4 years ago. You know, see, the black cloud was part of that process. So does anyone feel that they've been in the dark cloud, are in the dark cloud? A few of you? Yeah. Yeah, because that is the die to singlehood and independence bit of the process. And it's obviously different for everybody. You know, everyone's experience of what they, in essence, have to let go of, and what needs to die as the sort of the ruling principle in our lives. It's different for everybody, but it is a challenge. So I just want to, you know, just think about that. I mean, you got anything you'd want to just throw into the mix on it? Because it's like,
from my personal sort of perspective, you know, it's what we've been preparing for all this time, the whole surrendering to self, and you know, it is actually the part of the process where actually all those things come to the point where it's like we're ready to enter into the next stage that God's got for us. And you know, it's not to say that we know, you know, after the marriage that it's going to be plain sailing, because, you know, if you're comfortable, then you're probably just not engaging properly, because, you know, God's calling us to different levels of discomfort all the time. And what I mean by that is, it's challenging, isn't it? Each stage that, you know, we're at is challenging, in a one way or another. You know, it might be something, a challenge that we're embracing, which I would always recommend embracing the challenge, because it's so much easier than sort of like running away from it. But, you know, we've been leading up to this point. I guess what I would ask is, from each mountain perspective, you know, how do people feel about a marriage to God? Which, you know, in essence is a commitment of relationship. It's a commitment that above all else, I will put you first, which is, you know, when you think of it that way, you know, how awesome is that? That actually we have that level of intimacy with God, and He wants to take us even deeper from what we've experienced so far, so that we can do the things that He's called us to do, because that's where power is going to come from, knowing that we have that trust, that we trust in Him. And also He trusts us to outwork what He wants us to do, because, you know, it's a two-way relationship. Even though He's God and He's creator and owner of everything, He holds everything together, that He wants to give us that loving relationship. So I would be interested to know, from each mountain perspective, because have we got a representation of, no, we haven't got an exchange here, what each mountain feels about that.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, did anyone, before they got married individually, did you, anyone do marriage preparation? Okay, some. Okay. Did it work? What I was really trying to get at was...
Really prepare you.
Yeah. In essence, could anything actually prepare you until you actually got married and you were living together? It's like... So this process up till now is bringing us to a place where we're doing our best to be as much as we can prepared... In that, well, this is our expectations, we know this is your expectation, but until you get married, you aren't married. You know, and I think it's a bit like that for this. Yes, we really do need to say, I'm willing, but until it happens, it won't have happened. So we're leading up to something that we don't know until we do it. But, as Becky said, the more we can... think about the willingness, because obviously in a natural marriage, you are single until you're married, you know, and singlehood, or whatever the technical term is different until you've made that actual commitment of the wedding, where you make the vows and say the words and do the rings and all the stuff. So in essence, we're in that same place, you know, and what we don't want is cold feet on the day of the wedding, you know, because it happens, doesn't it? People get cold feet. Ooh, I'm not sure I can go through with this, you know. Well, so I mean, you know, so from each of the mountains, have you thought about it? Where do you think you are? Do you think there's an understanding of what this might bring as much as it could be? I don't know. Let's throw it open.
I think from what it might bring, what keeps going that we're talking about is the benefits, not just for us, but actually for wider for people.
Yeah.
I feel like what I keep hearing at the moment is it's like there's the more to it. I mean, you can know somebody before you get married. Because there is that process that you go through normally, you know, an arranged marriage. But that process of you know a certain amount, but actually it's not until you commit to that marriage and then you work on that and you build on that. For me, that's what I keep hearing is that there's going to be the more to this that you can't prepare for, because it's that more only comes when you're actually in that relationship, when it's the two of you become the one, because it's the one that makes it the more.
Yeah.
Which is exciting.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, yeah, this isn't sort of being sprung on us. Yeah, this was given, I think, in 2013. So it's been 3 years, I think, in sort of a journey. So it is something that we've been working towards, and I think a lot of things that God has done have been leading up into this point. I think it's not a coincidence that we're now looking to establish groups and be ready for something more, because, you know, marriage brings what? Fruitfulness, children. You know, we have to look at it from, you know what is going to be the fruit of this marriage? You know, what are the children who are going to come because of this marriage? And I think, you know, everything in terms of the equipping track, the groups, the prioritising, okay, you know, we wanted the priority and we looked at the priorities, are all, in essence, all leading up to this point. Anyone else got anything, any perspectives or thoughts?
imagine that you're actually fairly easy to contemplate. But individually, I feel like God has been taking me on a journey of learning to trust Him. And so, you know, in marriage, you do have to really trust the other person. And it's being in that place of rest in knowing who God is. And so I'm hoping that after the marriage, there will be an even deeper understanding of who God is.
Okay, great. Yeah, I mean, just before we go on, anyone else would like to share? Let's make sure everyone's got an opportunity to say anything.
The only thing I would say, I think, from an enterprise point of view, being that kind of outwards facing line-y kind of group that we are on, I think we've written that into our. We've kind of got articles but like one of them would be. It's not about whose idea it is, because they're all God's ideas, and it would be supernaturally blessed if we carry it forward as that. So, you know, words to that effect. So we've sort of got a statement of what that ketubah looks like as a entity in terms of corporate, you know, so whether it's in a mission statement or a code of practice or whatever you want to call it. But each of those actually all come back to this expression of relationship. They're about putting our individual agendas down to pursue the agenda of the gods and the group of the gods got, if that makes any sense. So we kind of use it as, honestly, is it housekeeping, or it's just a code of practice, if you like, and it's an acknowledgement of those things. Right, so I think that's as far as we've got with it.
Hmm.
From time to time, we remember to read them too. I can't remember, it says something like that, isn't it? It's the first line, isn't it? It's all the creative ideas are God's anyway, so, aka, it's all God's donuts. So, so, you know, we pursue them on that basis.
Okay.
I need to share that following our last government meeting, when we heard that Pat sort of stepped down from the health mountain, I stepped into heaven and asked God straight away, because my spirit was just like, is it time yet? Each stage along the journey of from, you know, as health and healing as it was called, was you know, in its process of unfolding all the challenges that it's been up against, I have asked God, it's like, should I be involved with this? Because it really concerned me. And I've always been sort of told that no. And so I've not pursued it at all. So after we heard that Pat stepped down, and my spirit was really like, God, is it now? Is it time? And I feel like I have a mandate to be on the health mountain. I've already stepped in and I've got part of the blueprint. I'm waiting for the information that they've already sort of gathered. But from looking at it from a health mountain perspective and everything that I've seen and everything that God's imparted to me so far is actually, you know, the sort of things that He's calling us to. As a church and as a collection of people passionate for Him, are that actually we need to be demonstrating to the world what, you know, how much He loves people. And that will come as a different expression for each person, depending on the mountain or the face of God that you interact with. But that intensity of relationship, that being closer together, like we've all, you know, already expressed, all of us have said actually it will bring us closer to God. We need that in order to be able to outwork the fullness of the blueprint that He's given us. And, you know, I can see that from a health perspective, the fullness of what is there is not possible without that depth of relationship with God. And so, you know, I'm really excited by it, but it does bring with it unknowns. You know, but it's the same as everything. It's just like you know, it's that uncomfortableness. It's not like them going into a comfortable, although it's safe because he's our safe place, you know, the things that challenges are other things in us, not our spirit. Our spirit understands and responds to that. It's all the other bits that we need to lose that feel uncomfortable. And if we feel uncomfortable, then that's an indication that actually we need to deal with some of those things. So I'm actually really excited to come from the perspective of the health mountain as well. I just think it's awesome.
We're as up for it as we can be. To get this mountain back, know what it's going to look like. So, yeah, be up for it.
It seems to be. Yeah. I mean, it's what everybody shared is that an expression of how it's feeling. Just do people want to share how they're feeling?
Oh, breaking it. Basically, but you know, hey, this is Josh.
I mean, I guess even in an ordinary marriage, there is a sense of excitement and apprehension that would be natural to feel. But looking at it from the question there, are we willing to accept the responsibility? Well, obviously, there is a different responsibility that comes with marriage as opposed to being single. It's different, isn't it? That will obviously bring with it a relational responsibility for deeper intimacy, because that's what happens. That's what's supposed to happen after marriage. It's supposed to be deeper intimacy. And also in terms of, for us, this is a governmental responsibility as well. Then what differences in our attitudes, what differences in our thinking, what differences in how we will behave will come after we've left singlehood and independence behind and got married. Because there's got to be a change of something. And I think as much as we have tried to prepare and done as much as we can, just to say that there is going to be a requirement for something different, even if we can't define it, there will be. And that may be different for everybody in terms of how they will experience that, or what it will mean for individuals. But I do feel that there is the point where we are in putting into place the things that God is saying. Is not a coincidence that we're at this point. But it does mean a willingness, and I think that's where we are today. Is there that willingness? And, in terms of where we are with it, having accepted that invite, We actually feel, and I think Becky felt a real clear mandate for this, and I'm happy to think yes, that we would have a ceremony on the 31st of December. So that's a Saturday night.
Saturday.
Yeah. And do you want to sort of share a little bit more about what you received on that?
I just had this, revelation, experience where I saw that we were celebrating. It was actually end of an old and the beginning of a new. We were embracing the new. We've previously been to a wedding on New Year's Eve. First of all, that's what God showed me. He showed me his wedding that we've been to on New Year's Eve, and then he sort of said that actually that it was the end of an old and the beginning of a new, and laying down, and coming with that willingness of heart to embrace something new. And it, but it was a celebration. It was, you know, like a real wedding. It was like a wedding where you celebrate and, you know, commit to the relationship and celebrate, you know, this new relationship that had been, because effectively that's what it is, the start of this new, deeper relationship as one with God. So I just saw this whole party, if you like, you know, following this ceremony, this real... celebration, and excitement.
We were sort of looking at it rather than a, in the last obviously few years we've engaged on New Year's Eve, but it's been a more of a let's sort of come together and see what happens. This is much more of a, and I think we were looking at this as a, not actually doing anything on the Sunday, but actually making this our, you know, a whole weekend mean, if you like, for what that and that.
So would it be open to everybody in the church who wanted to come? Or just
yes. Yeah. In a sense, what we feel is that God is calling us as a representation of the church, in the government of the church, to make this commitment. And obviously we're aware that people are at different stages and different understandings. I think we obviously have encouraged people to do a ketubah, a basic ketubah, you know, even for people who've been around a while, and over, you know, the next few months, because we've obviously got best part of 4 months before that takes place, we can sort of reiterate that and, you know, continue to encourage people and let people know that this is going to happen, like now, rather than, oh well, yes, we're doing something New Year's Eve a couple of weeks before. So, you know, we're going to let them know now, so there's everyone will have a few months to think about that, prepare for it, and, you know, as we've done before, give people an opportunity of saying, "Oh, I'm not really sure." That's okay, you know. But God is, we're answering God's invitation, and, you know, I think, as I say, it will be a new level of relationship and responsibility that, you know, seeking first the kingdom, this is what it is. You know, we're not any longer going to be seeking first anything other than his kingdom. Now, I guess, well, we've been doing that anyway, but whatever this is, it's an invitation to go into something new with that. So yes, we would be looking to have a full-on proper celebration and really embrace it. And I think, obviously, let's engage and see if God shows us anything specifically on what it looked like. You know, what actually, what form of ceremony is it going to take? See, there's something we've talked about in terms of presenting our ketubahs and, you know, laying them on the altar, sacrifice. There is a covering, the hoopah, that is, you know, a weight of the presence of God that we're expecting to cover us in that. And everyone individually accepting an invitation to come deeper. So I think, you know, that we have an opportunity to, you know, not just today, but we have an opportunity to really discern what it is that will actually, what form it will take, if we need to develop vows and words and, you know, whatever. I think, you know, we all have a sort of an expectation in one sense of what a marriage might look like, or a wedding. might look like, but what is this one going to look like? We've obviously got, we need to find out, you know. So I think it would be good, again, just spend a few minutes just engaging with God and maybe presenting ourselves and asking God, is there anything that he wants to do in preparation so we would be ready individually? And the same for our mountains or anything else. Is there anything? You know, if we come with a, hey God, we're opening our hearts here before your presence, we ask you to unveil anything that you want us to let go of, lay down, be willing to sacrifice, you know, any areas that we may be living in singlehood, independence now, that it would be better for us to have engaged with, and, you know, let's spend a few minutes doing that so that we can... Be as prepared as we can, really, for it. Okay. So we have this essentially the same invitation. You know, let's step into that open heaven. Father, we just thank you again for the invitation that we have to come up here. That you would bring us into that place where we step into your presence, into the security of your love, grace, mercy. And again, our desire is to present ourselves to you and as a living sacrifice, that you would begin to show us any areas of preparation, any areas where we're still operating from a singlehood, independent perspective or mindset, or we just present ourselves to you. Open our hearts. Desire individually and corporately is to accept your invitation. We thank you that you've looked into our eyes and declared your love for us. We thank you that you called us your treasured possession. And we just want to yield and surrender to the preparation that we need to go through individually, corporately, to embrace the fullness Okay. There, I think, you know, don't take it as a one-off. Let's be open to engage that with our mountains, and just be open for anything God reveals in terms of our own personal position in that, corporate position, and then if there's revelation that comes, please feed back in anything you feel God's saying that we should do on that time, anything to do with what that marriage might look like, or the ceremony might look like, or the wedding, whatever. You know, feel free to share if you get any revelation over the next 2 months. Obviously, we don't want to be waiting to the last minute to decide what we're going to do, so we're going to probably look to have an idea of what we're going to do well before that. Okay, Deb, Joe and Graham, not to pick you out, but I'm picking you out, went down to Marketplace and did some training on forgiveness therapy. And we, at the last 12 meeting, asked them to go away and to engage to see how, you know, we might be mandated to do that here. And we asked them to share that with everyone else today, with a view of looking at what that might look like for us. And